Today's share of the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Tes. And we're learning today Leilu Nishmas Isaac Ratz. He was a Holocaust survivor. Yitzhak Ben Moshe, Jeffrey Ratz's father. All the Nishamas we learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin in the Gemara, picking up from yesterday, six lines from the top. Kuf Yud Tes Omid Aleph. And the Gemara begins with Rabbi Chanina telling us how he would honor the Shabbos. So Rabbi Chanina, mi'atev, he would dress up in his very best Shabbos clothing, and the koi, he would stand up. The Shar Mitzion and Bahalacha brings down from the Aderes that this is actually the source of us standing up for Luchadodi on Shabbos, because he would stand up, apanya demali Shabbata, on Erev Shabbos, and he would say, Amar, bo v'neitze, let us go out, v'neitze, outside, likras Shabbos Hamalka, we'll go and greet the Shabbos queen. Rashi explains that we call the Kala, Hachi Kori Le L'Shvisa Shabbos, Mitoch Chavivos. They would do this out of their desire to honor the Shabbos and show how much they love the Shabbos, so they would call it the Shabbos queen. Some suggest that the Shabbos is the relationship with Klai Yisrael, it's the husband-wife relationship, so the Shabbos is the queen, we're the king. In any event, that's what he would do. Let us go out and greet the Shabbos, and Rav Yane, Lov Yishmone, Mali Shabbos. Rav Yane would get dressed himself on Erev Shabbos, and he would go out also and say, Boi Chala, Boi Chala. He would say, let us come and greet the Shabbos bride. So this is, again, our Luchododi, and many say this is the source for us for either people move towards the back or they turn towards the back to, quote, greet the Shabbos Kala. In fact, many suggest that's the point that we accept Shabbos upon ourselves with the saying of the last part of Luchododi, as we say, Mizrach Shir Lioma Shabbos. Where it continues, it says, Rabba Bar Huna, Iklola Bay Rabba Bar Nachman. He once went to visit Rabba Bar Nachman, and he saw that they brought him out a lot of tremendous food. Karivule, they brought to him Tlos Save, three saw worth of Tachye. What is Tachye? These saw certain types of especially fried, cooked, mizonos types of dishes. Rashi calls them Rikikin. Tochim pneim b'shuman, they would say wafers that they were smeared with all sorts of oil, b'shuman aya, from the fatty tail of the animal. Now this makes it fleishich. Normally we don't have fleishich of bread, but these were made in a certain shape that you're allowed to have. You're allowed to have a meat knish or a cheese danish, even though we don't make breads that are milchig of fleishich because of the concern that you may come to eat them with the incorrect type of food. You may have this milchik of bread with a hamburger. You may have the fleishik of bread with the butter. So therefore, we normally don't allow this. But here, they were clearly visible as being a certain type of fleishik dish, so therefore it was allowed. In any event, they brought out this delicacy, these tlos save tachye. In any event, amalahu, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, who was visiting the house of Rabba Bar Rav Nachman, said, how do you know I was coming? Amalahu, mi avi yadisun dosina, how do you know I was coming? That's such a nice thing that you're making this for me. So he responds. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Amulei. They responded to him, Mi adifas lon mina. Are you any more important than Shabbos? In other words, Rashi tells us, Klumata choshev lonu mina Shabbos. You're a great person, but you're certainly not more important than the Shabbos. And l'chovet Shabbos, we prepared them for the Shabbos. We had no idea you were coming. This is what we do every week for the Shabbos, and you're Baruch Hashem, you're the beneficiary of that, but we're honoring the Shabbos, and that's what how we prepare for the Shabbos special things. Rabbi Abba, Zovan Bitlesar Astire Pshite, he would spend a tremendous amount of money. He would purchase with 13 Astire Pshite, that's a certain type of coin. Rashi goes through what exactly the dimensions of this coin were in terms of its value. In any event, he would purchase this bisra, meat. We would take this huge amount of money, and he would purchase meat, mitleisar tabache, from 13 butchers. The Mefarshim bring down that 13 is one of those numbers that means a lot. It doesn't, dafka, literally mean this many. You can see this in Rashi, you can see this in the Gilyon HaShas, that it meant he purchased a lot. So when he purchased all this meat, umashilhu atzinora de dasha, they would bring it to his door. Now, what does this mean? Rashi has two pshatim over here. Rashi's first pshat is lifnei bom, before they brought it to his house, lahavi lo abaser hayomizamin lehem mosein, he would pay for it right away. Al pisklin, right by the butcher store, he would pay for it. Vomulhem, and he would tell them ashru haya, which we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. Says quickly, his ashru viskasku, go and do your jobs real fast. Maher. Go and do your jobs real well. Okay, you took care of me. Now go back and take care of all the other customers. That's the first pshat that Rashi brings down. However, he says, I prefer Veli Nira. Appears to me that Umashlumuhu means Atzinor Didasha at his house. Kishoya maybe Rishona, when he would come to his house bringing the first group of meat that he bought, Hayunosna Lashamoshim Hamechinim Sudoso Al Pesach Beso. He would have his servants, his stewards, they would take the food from him, the meat that he purchased immediately from his door. He didn't even go inside. Veloya Nichnas. He would quickly drop it off by them and run back to the store to go and get the next group of meat. Vomelin, he told the people in his house, L'shamoshim, Ashur Haya, Ishashu Meher. In other words, strengthen yourselves and hurry up and do this work. Go prepare this meat. Before I go read the next group. So this way, you'll take care of this first course. In the meanwhile, I'm going and buying the next course. In other words, he brought all these delicacies for Shabbos. Vomelin, and that's where the Gemara continues. He told them, either the butchers in the store, go back and do your work, or he told the people in his house, quickly do your work. Ashur Haya, go and do this in order that all the food should be ready for Shabbos, all the customers should be taken care of. Rabbi Yavo, Rabbi Yosef, Atachtuka Deshina. He would sit, Rabbi Yavo, on this special type of chair, very fancy chair. Rashi tells us that this is something called a feshtado, maybe like a pedestal of some sort. Shoshane, it was made out of ivory. Shane is a tooth, so ivory. Shechoshva Yavosha, it's a very special type of a chair, and he was a very wealthy person. And nevertheless, Umoshif Nurit, he himself used to take the bellows and go and blow on the fire to make the fire ready for Shabbos. So it wasn't below his dignity to go and do this. Even though he's such a rich and fancy person, he felt he has to do something to prepare for Shabbos. We'll see many other Amorayim in a moment, they used to do things for Shabbos as well. On the other hand, some say in contrast to this, Rav Anan Lovish Gunda. Rav Anish put on a Gunda. Rashi tells us that this Gunda was some sort of a black type of a garment, Kli Shachar. And this was specifically done, Lodiyah, Shayom Eino Kedai Lisnagi B'chashivas. When you're going and preparing on every Shabbos, you don't make yourself fancy. You have to go take care of all the dishes for Shabbos, so get yourself dirty. And don't put on clothing that you wouldn't want to get dirty, so to say. The Tanah D'Rabbi Shmuel, as the Gemara tells us, was the opinion in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. They learned in a Braisa there, Begodim Shabishal Ben Kedar El Rabbah. We had this previously, that in the clothing, you're preparing the meal for your Rebbe, don't serve him in those clothes. We had this when we talked about that you do the Truma Sedeshin, so we said then they would take off their clothing and do the rest of the Avodah, because they would get dirty from doing the Truma Sedeshin. So it's over here. Get yourself dirty. Put on these special types of gunda that, you know, it's like a smock and apron. And this way, you don't mind if it gets dirty. And then afterwards, take it off. And when you go serve the meal, then you dress up in your Shabbos, nice, beautiful finery. Now, we mentioned that the Amoraim would do certain activities themselves for Shabbos, even though they were very rich or very wealthy or they were busy learning, but they would each do something special for Shabbos. And here we have a number of the Amoraim, their custom. Rav Safra Machrich Reisha. Rav Safra would go and light a little bit of a fire. He would go and singe the hair on the head of the animal that they would be eating on Shabbos. Rashi explains, Im Hoyosham Rosh Behema, if they were having the head of a behema, so he would go and lachroch, he would go and singe it. Mecharchu Biatzu, he would do this himself. And this would be done to get the hair off the animal and allow the animal to be cooked better. Rava Molach Shibuta, Rava himself would go and salt this fish called a Shibuta, a certain type of a fish, a delicacy that they used to have for Shabbos. Ravuna Madlik Shragi, Ravuna would be the one to go and light the lamps in the house for Shabbos. Some say this is the source of the custom that for women who light their candles, they had a custom that the man, the husband, who doesn't do the lighting, that's the woman's mitzvah, but he would light the candles first for the woman and then blow them out. Apparently, in those days, and maybe even today, that when you light it the first time, it's a little bit harder, but once it's already lit, it lights much more easily the second time. So he would do this to either allow his wife to have an easier time lighting the candles, or he would light other candles throughout the house, so there should be light on Shabbos in the house, and this way it's more pleasant when it's nebuch dark. So it could be a danger. People could step on things, stub their toe, get into fights. So therefore, he would light candles in the house in order to make sure there'd be a wonderful shalom bayis. Rapapa Godu Psilosa. Rapapa would go and make the wicks for the different lamps on Shabbos. So before Shabbos, he would do this, so they would have light on Shabbos. Ruchista Parim Silka. Rashi explains this is Lashem Frumim, which means Mechatech. He would go cut up the Silka. Silka is translated as beets. So he would help with the food preparations for Shabbos. Both Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Mitzal Chetzivi, their custom was that they would go chop wood. Make sure that there was plenty of wood for the oven that they would heat up before Shabbos. And Reb Zera, Mitzatas Tzatuse. He would go, Rashi says, Meitzitz or Be'etzim Dakim. He would go and start the fire. You have to start the fire with little twigs. So he would go and make sure that the fire would be up and roaring. So when they were cooking for Shabbos or heating up the house for Shabbos, heating up the water to prepare for Shabbos, it would all be ready. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mechatev V'Oil Mechatev V'Nofik. His custom was that on Erev Shabbos, Rashi says, Yotzi V'Nichnas Lahavi Tomid Masuos Klitashmish U'Bigdei Chofesh U'Megodim K'odim Shemekabel Yisrael Rabo V'Beso. He would go bring in and out all sorts of goodies into the house, take them out of the house, the weekday stuff, put in the Shabbos stuff, whatever needed to be done. He was the Schlepper on Erev Shabbos. Omer, he would say, Ilu Mikalili Rebbe Ami V'Ravasi if my Rebbeim Rami and Ravasi would come to me. Milo, Mechatif, nor Kamayu, wouldn't I do all of this work for them? So Allah has come with Kama. I have to do this work, Litroch, Ulaharbos, for the Shabbos, as Rashi says, to honor the Shabbos. A different version of the story just had some different Amorayim involved. Because the Amorayim, others say that it was Ravami and Ravasi, that they would go, Mekasiv, Aile, Mekasiv, and okay, they would go in and out, taking out all the different things for Shabbos, in and out, that they would need to do to prepare for Shabbos. And they said, Amre, Ilu, Ikla, Lon, Rabbi Yochanan, if our Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan would be here, Milo, Mekasvinim, Kameh, wouldn't we do this for him? So again, Allah has come with Sukama, we have to do this for the Shabbos. Now we have a great story. It's a very famous story. Yosef Mokir Shabbi. The name of this person was Yosef, and he was especially diligent in honoring the Shabbos. It actually says, Moker Shabbi means Mechabed Shabbosos. That was his name. That's how he was known. Now, how Nochwi Bishivavuse. There was once a guy who lived in his neighborhood, and the Hava Nefishe Nichse Tuv, a very, very wealthy person. He had tons of properties, tons of stuff. However, this non-Jewish person was told, Amalei Kaldoi, the Kaldoi were the astrologers, and this Kaldoi told him, oh, you're in a lot of trouble, I see through the stars, Kulu Nichse, all of your property, Yosef Mokir Shabbe Ochlu, he's going to eventually get them. Rashi says, Sofach Lipo Biodo, he's going to eat them, he's going to get your property, somehow all of your properties are going to fall to him. So what did this non-Jewish person do? He said, I'm going to outsmart this prophecy. Ozal, he went, Zabninu Lekulu Nichse, he sold all of his properties, which he had, and Zavanbu Marganisin, he bought a huge diamond with it. He bought a very, very fancy pearl. So this Marganisa could easily be carried around, and he thought he could protect his wealth that way by always having this with him, and this way there's no way that Yosef Mokir Shabbi would get it. Also, Bisayone, he went and put it on his hat. Rashi says, also lo kova shalavad, he made a felt hat. Vishavtsu b'mishbitzos shalzov, he decorated with various types of golden ornaments. And v'kova bo margolius, and he put this pearl in the hat, v'kova as zuimoem. So he had, that's where all of his wealth was now stored. As you might suspect, ba'ade d'kova ma'aver, one time he was crossing over a bridge, crossing over a river, and afarche zika, a wind came and blew shadja b'maya, blew this hat off into the water. And Balei Kavra, and a fish swallowed up, and there went all of his wealth. Okay, that's the end of that guy. He has no longer his wealth, and he lost his hat with the very, very, very expensive pearl inside of it. No, the fish swallowed it. Eventually, this fish was caught. Askua, they captured this fish. Somebody caught this fish. And Aitua, Apanya Demali Shabbata. But it was already late Friday afternoon in the marketplace, and there was very few people left to go buy the fish. So I mean, they said, "Oi, man, Zavin Kihashta, who's going to buy such a fish? It's a great fish, big fish, but who's going to want to buy it this late in the day? Most people have prepared their food." So somebody said, Amuleh, they told the fisherman, Zilu, go, Antayu Legabi Yosef Mokir Shabbos. Go bring it to this guy, Yosef Mokir Shabbos. The Rogul is over. He'll buy anything that's great for Shabbos, no matter when, no matter where. He's always interested in honoring the Shabbos. So if you go to him, you'll be able to sell it to him. And Kachoya, that's what they did. Amtuya, they brought it to him, Niale, to him, Zavdi, and he bought it. Kare, he prepares the fish, he opens up the fish, and Ashkech Bei Marganisa, and he sees the pearl that the fish swallowed. And this was a huge, valuable pearl. Remember that Nachri had sold all of his property to purchase this pearl, so it was worth millions. So Zabde, he sold it. Again, here we have that number. Betleisar Ilos Ilyosa. He purchased with it a tremendous amount of money. He was able to sell it for a tremendous amount of money. Ilyosa could mean the attic over here, the Aliyah, and he filled up 13 attics with the dinare, the dava, and he filled it up with gold, with all sorts of dinar. That's what Rashi says over here, that this is a huge amount of money that he filled it up with. Alios, Bleos, Dinre, Zov. He filled up addicts worth of Zov, and Rashi says, V'guzma bi'amuhu. And this is a guzma that Rabbi Akiva Eger brings down over here. Other places where we find such guzma used with the number 13. In other words, it was a lot. So this just means a lot over here. Tosis actually has a different explanation for Ilyasa. He doesn't say it means attic. He brings out for the Rabbeinu Tam, the Ilyasa, Shem Klihu. So this was a certain type of a kli. So he filled up 13 kalim worth of money. So that's already a possibility. Not such a guzman necessarily. In any event, he became fabulously wealthy. That's Yosef Mokir Shabi. Paga Bei Hausaba. An old man came up to him. Now, many times we have a Shas, Hausaba, it means Eliyahu Novi. And he said, Omar, mine is Yosef Shabsa, Pari Shabsa, the one who spends a lot of money on Shabbos. The Yosef Shabsa literally means he borrows money for Shabbos. So Yosef Mokir Shabi got his name because he must have constantly purchased everything for Shabbos, and he probably bought a lot of stuff on credit, and eventually, of course, paid it back. So the person who spends a lot of money on Shabbos, who borrows money to honor the Shabbos itself will pay him back, and that's why in his honoring the Shabbos, he bought this fish, and the fish, of course, was the way that that, quote, Shabbos paid it back, and Kodesh Baruch Hu paid him back. Bar Minei Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, Rabbi asked the following shalom from Shmuel Bar Yossi. Ashirim Sheb Eretz Yisrael, B'mehen Zochen. The rich people that live in Eretz Yisrael, to what did they attribute their wealth? How did they get so rich? Amalo. So his Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, told him, Amalo Bishvil Shema Asrin, because they take off Trumas and Maisos in Eretz Yisrael, and based upon the Pasuk Shneimar, Aser, go and take off Trumas and Maisos, that you should be te aser. Now, it means over here, aser, bishvil shetis asher. We change the sin to a shin. Go and take off trumas and maisos. When you demonstrate that you're willing to give to the Kohanim, the Matnus Kuna, the Levim, the maestros, so then you will become te asher. You will become a very wealthy person. So that's a beautiful idea that the Torah is telling us with this double lotion, aser te aser. I once heard a beautiful shot from Moshe Meir Weiss, who said in the name of his father that when you take off aser, you take off the tenth of the word to aser, so the tough is 400, that becomes 40. That's mem. The ayin, which is 70, that becomes a zayin, which is 7. The sin, which is 300, that becomes a lamed, which is 30. And the resh, which is 200, that becomes a chaf, which is 20. So therefore, mazal cha, that's the tenth that you take off. If you want your mazal to be good, so then go and give money to tzedakah. In any event, that's what his Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, told Rebbe. That's why they're rich in Eretz Yisrael, because they take off Trumas and Maisos. So Rebbe asked the new Shiva Bava, where there's no Trumas and Maisos, by Mehen Zochen, to what did they attribute any wealth that they have in Bavo? They don't have Trumas and Maisos there. So Shmuel Bar Yossi told them, Amalo, Bishul Shemechadin is the Torah, because they honor the Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them back with wealth. The rest of the world, they don't Mechabi the Torah like they do in Bavo. So how come they're wealthy people elsewhere? So Amalo, so Shmuel Bar Yossi told them, Bishul Shemechadin is the Shabbos, because of covered Shabbos, because they treat the Shabbos properly, they honor the Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them back. Just like the story with Yossi Mokir Shabi. And where do we see this from? The Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, Pamachas Nisarachti Eitzel Balabais Belutkia. One time, I was in a place called Lutkia, and they view the fun of Shulchan Shel Zohav. They brought in front of him a golden table. It was a very, very big table. Masui, it had to be carried. Shish also b'ni Adam. That's how big this golden table was. And on this table, Vishesh Yisrei Shal Shalos Shel Kesef Kivuos Bo. There were 16 silver chains over here that used to carry the table with these chains. And there were plenty of utensils on this table as well. Uka'oros, there were all sorts of plates, kosos and cups, ketonios. We had previously, that was like ladles, utsluchios, various types of jugs, kavuosbo. They were somehow set in this table. So the table was all set for Shabbos. For all of Kol Minei Meichel, they had a tremendous amount of food on this table. The Kol Minei Megodim, all these delicious food items, ubesamim and spices. It was, again, a feast for Shabbos. So when they put this table out for Shabbos, Omrim, Lashem Oretzim Law, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns everything. And then they would say, when they would take it away, but he gave us the right. That's, by the way, we learned the Gemara in Brachos, that before you make a bracha, it belongs to Hashem. After you make a bracha, you sort of see you're purchasing it. So that's how you explain that the Shemayim is everything belongs to Hashem, but then Oris Nasal Bnei Adam, he did give it to us after we purchased it, so to say, with our brachos. So that's what Reb Chiya bar Abba saw this person had. So Marti Lo. So he asked him, Bini, my child, how do you attribute your great wealth over here that you have all of this unbelievable stuff? So Amar, so this person told him, Amar, he told me, this is Reb Chiya bar Abba telling the story. Katsavi, he said, I was a butcher. And I was very, very careful. And every time there was a nice animal, I would save it for Shabbos. So every time I had an animal, we have this opinion, Beisilo Beishamai. Likewise, that Beisilo would go, and every time he purchased something, he found something nice, he would say, no, this one's going to be for Shabbos. He found something nice, so this one be for Shabbos. So this is the same idea, that he would always say, oh, this is a very beautiful animal, I'll say this for Shabbos. So he would honor the Shabbos. So Amar Tilo, so Reb Chiya bar Abba told him, Ashrecha shezachitza, it's fantastic that you were able to do this. Ubaruch hamokum shezikcho lukach. And that's why we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you everything that you have. Another story about honoring the Shabbos. Amelo Kesel Yeshua B'Chananya, the Caesar told Yeshua B'Chananya. Yeshua B'Chananya, the Gemara in Sota tells us, was the best ambassador for the Jewish people. He was always the one that was defending us in front of the Caesars and in front of the Goyim. Says when he died, we lost our best defense attorney. In any event, the Caesar, the Kesar, told Yeshua B'Chananya, "Mibnei ma tav shoshal Shabbos reichu nodev." Whoa, the food that you guys have on Shabbos, it has such an unbelievable aroma. So what do you attribute it to? So Rabbi Shmuel tells him, we have a special spice, and it's called the Shabbos Shemo, and we call the spice Shabbos. That's why the food tastes so good on Shabbos. If you have the food on Shabbos afterwards, it never tastes as good. If you have it beforehand, it never tastes as good. It tastes special on Shabbos. And we put this spice called Shabbos in our food, and the aroma wafts all over the place. So Amalo, so he says, ooh, give me some of that. Ten lono, hey, menu. I want to purchase this. It's delicious, this smell. So I want to purchase the Shabbos. So Rabbi Shua says, sorry, Reb, can't do that. Amlo, call him a Shabbos, a Shabbos, Molo. This spice only works for those that observe the Shabbos. If you observe the Shabbos, so then the food tastes special on Shabbos. V'sheinu m'shamer Shabbos, but if a person doesn't observe the Shabbos, ain't a molo, so then it's just food. The you give cholin to somebody, so you can say, you know, that's an interesting food, but a person who observes the Shabbos, so the foods that we have on Shabbos, whether it's the gefilte fish, the liver, the cholin, so it has a special taste, and that is the zechus, that your shomer Shabbos, Hashem makes the food taste even extra special on Shabbos. Rashi elsewhere brings down, that's one of the reasons why you have in the Neshama Yisera, that you can enjoy the extra food that is there on Shabbos. It's a gashmius thing that your Neshama Yisera helps you with. Others say it's a spiritual thing. You can absorb more Torah. So both are correct. Amalei Reish Galusa, Rav Amnuna. The Reish Galusa said to Rav Amnuna, Maidus, what does the pasuk mean when it says, now the gear that we have is above at the beginning, V'likdosh Hashem Mechubad, but actually the pasuk doesn't have the above, and the pasuk says, Likdosh Hashem Mechubad. If you, over here, are honoring the Shabbos, so Hashem will honor you. Likdosh Hashem mechubad. Those that honor the Shabbos will be honored by Hashem. So Amalei. So the Reish Galusa asked this question to Rav Amnuna. What does this mean? So he told him. Rav Amnuna told him, Amalei, Zeh Yom HaKippurim Shein Bo Lo Achila Lo Shasiya. This is alluding to over here because the first part of the pasuk says, if you cross the Shabbos Oneg, so then Likdosh Hashem mechubad. So what is this referring to? It's referring to something other than Shabbos itself. So he says this is referring to Yom Kippur, when you're not allowed to eat, of course, you're not allowed to drink, of course. So how do we honor Yom Kippur if it's not a day of food and drink? So Amar Torah, the Torah tells us, Kabdeyu, honor it, v'chsus nikiyah, by wearing a very special garment. Some suggest that this is the source for wearing your talis on Yom Kippur night, because we want to bring out a special thing, so we can't eat, we can't drink, so we wear special garments. So some suggest that's the source. I heard this from Rav Shechter Shlita in the name of the Rav, that's one of the reasons why we wear a talis on Yom Kippur night, when we never wear a talis at nighttime. Others suggest that this is the kittel that people wear. This is a special ksus nekia that we wear honoring Yom Kippur. The pasuk continues and says, "Chibadito, you should honor the Shabbos, and you should do it by not doing what you do the rest of the week." In other words, make the Shabbos special by doing things differently. So what would they do differently? So Rav Amar Lahakdim, Rav would go and eat at a different time. He would eat at a different time to show you that I'm honoring the Shabbos. I'm not just eating my regular eating. Oh, I normally eat it at 1 o'clock. Today we're going to eat at 12 o'clock. He would make it earlier. Shmuel did Pumfaket, the opposite. Shmuel Amar La'acher. Shmuel would eat normally at 1 o'clock. Now we'd eat at 2 o'clock. Tosus brings down the Lo Pligi. They don't argue. El Rav Ayre B'Darko Uliacher. That Rav would normally eat at a later time, and therefore he would now eat earlier. Ushmul Ayri B'Darko L'Haktim, and he would normally eat earlier, so he changed his eating earlier, as the Gemara tells us now. Amalei B'nei Rapapa Barabba L'Rapapa. So the children of Rapapa Barabba said to Rapapa, and they said to him, Kigon Anan, us, the Shchiach Lon Bisro V'Chamro Kol Yoma, we eat very well. They're wealthy people, Mustafa. We have meat and we have wine every single day. So what should we do different on Shabbos? How is it going to show us that the Chibadito, that we're running the Shabbos, we're having the same meat and wine every day? But my Nishaneh, what should we do? How do we make a shinui over here? So he told them, Amalo, Irigili So Lechdume. If you normally make your meals earlier, so achruah, now make it later to show that you're honoring the Shabbos with this meal. If you normally make it a little bit later, achdemua, so now go make it a little bit earlier. I remember once hearing from, I think it was Rabbi Fran Shlita on a tape, where he said that he wears a suit and tie every single day. So how does he honor the Shabbos? So he says when he would go, how was he honored the davening? Because he's wearing a suit and tie all the time. So he said he would go specifically, he would button up his jacket, he would straighten out his tie. And that's the way that you can honor the Shabbos, just by making some significant little, doesn't have to be huge, some significant little change to do something that honors the Shabbos, that honors the shul, that's the way we can be mechabi the Shabbos, mechabi the Beis Knesses. Rav Sheshes, Bekaita, Rav Sheshes in the summertime, Mosiv Lehu L'Rabbanon, he would go and set up the shear outside for the Rabbanon, Hecha Dematcha Shimsha, that the sun would eventually go to that spot and it would become uncomfortable and the people would start melitzing, they would move about, and he would know that the shear would be over. The Sitva, in the wintertime, Mosiv L'Rabbanon Hecha Dematcha Tula, in the wintertime he would put it in a place where the sun would be shaded and it would get cooler over there and the people would start melitzing, they would start moving about, and he did this, he was blind, Ki Heche D'Leikumu Haya, he would know that the shear was over, because now he knew it would take a certain amount of time for it to get either too hot or too cold in the places where he put them, and he would know when they started fidgeting that the shear was over, time for the shear to end, that's because he was blind, he couldn't see, so he would know that this was the time for the shear to be over. Rav Zeira, turn to the Amid Beis, Rav Zeira, Mahader Azuzei Zuzei D'Rabbanon, he would go after the pairs of the Rabbanon, Zuzei means Kishaya Roos on Zugo Zugos Umadagim Torah. He would see them sitting in Chavrusa learning, so he would go after him, Chazachrem, and listen to what he would tell him, Omelam. He would beg them, Amalu, B'matusa minaycho, I beg of you, please, lo sechalalune, don't go and be mechalal the Shabbos by not eating, by just sitting here and learning Torah. Amazing. He told them, stop learning Torah. And this Askur Rashi says, Ba'onik Shabbos, B'lo techalalune, levatel tanugim, there's a time to learn. Now he was talking here to Tamidei Chachamim, so they're learning all week. So Shabbos is specifically set aside for them to have physical comforts. So they're sitting and staggering away the Beis Medrash all week. So they're the ones that are supposed to sleep Shabbos afternoon. They're the ones that should bedavka leave some time on Shabbos to enjoy the delicacies of the physical world, because they're spending all week long learning. I heard from a rabbi, people are spending all week long learning, so they're not supposed to do this on Shabbos. On Shabbos, they're not supposed to just sleep and eat. So on Shabbos, they're supposed to spend time learning Torah, because they're busy working all week. So then for them, Shabbos, the way to be ma'anig the Shabbos is to go learn and to spend time doing holy things on Shabbos, whereas the Talmud Chacham was spending his time all week long working, so he has a right to have more of a little bit of a gashmias time on Shabbos. Amar Rav Avitam Rav Shimon Levi, either Rav or Rav Shimon Levi said the following, Afilu Yochel Mispalel, B'Erev Shabbos, even a person's davening Nebuch without a minion. We unfortunately know, people daven minion all their lives with COVID, so we haven't been able to daven with a minion until Baruch Hashem recently, we've been able to go back to our shuls and have minyanim. So, even if you're davening B'Yachidus on Erev Shabbos, the Friday night davening, Tzorach Lomar V'Yichulu, you say V'Yichulu. We actually say V'Yichulu three times. We say it once in the Shemoneh Esrei, say it once right after the Shemoneh Esrei, and then we say it by Kiddush again. And there are various reasons for this. One of them is that on Yontif, you don't find this in the Shemoneh Esrei, so therefore we say it an extra time to make up for that. In any event, the Erev Shabbos, they would say Vayichulu, even if they were davening B'Yachidus. Why? Yomer Rav Amuna, Rav Amuna said, Kol Mispalel B'Erev Shabbos, Yomer Vayichulu, because if anybody goes on Erev Shabbos and he says Vayichulu, Ma'alol of a Kosov, it says the Pasuk about him, Kilu Nasa Shutav LeKodesh Baruch Hu. It's as if you become a partner with that Kodesh Baruch Hu, B'Maisa B'Reishis, in creating the world. Why? Shinema, because the Pasuk says Vayichulu, which literally means that they were finished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Shemayim V'Aretz, and they were finished. So Al Tikri Vayichulu, that they were finished, so to say, by themselves, Ella Vayichalu, that you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, finished making the world. Amar Rilozer. Rilozer says, Minayin shadibur kimaisa. How do we know that if you just say something, it can be like an action? So, Shinema, this is based upon the pasuk, Bidvar Hashem Shemaim Nasu. With just the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the worlds were created. So, sometimes even dibur can be like a maisa. When you daven on Friday night and you say Vayichulu, Shnei Malachei Hashoreis Hamalavin Liodam, the two angels that are constantly with a person and they're taking you to your house, they're being malavi you to your house. Minichin Yedein Al Rosho, they put the hand, so to say, on your head. Vomelo, they say to this person, V'sara Vonecha V'chatoscho Tzuchupar, all of the sins that you may have should leave you because you're doing this Vayichulu, this great praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your sins shall be gotten a kapara, though, shall be atoned for. Now, there's a famous story now that we have that everybody learns this when they're a little kid in school. Tanya. Rav Yehuda says, Shnei Malachei Hashoreis, Melavin Liodam B'Erev Shabbos. There are two angels that come and escort a person home, Melavin also, to his house on Erev Shabbos when he comes home from Shul. Mibesa Knesset L'Beso. And it depends what they find when they enter the house. Echo Tov Yechud Roy. One of these angels is, so to say, like the Yetzer Tov, one is the Yetzer Hara. Ukshabol L'Beso, when they get to the house, and they see everything is set up nicely. Umotzlo Ner Dolok, the candles are lit nicely. Vishulchan Aruch, the tables are all set up. And their chairs, they used to sit like on these low tables, these low mats, these low beds, and everything is all set up. So then, Malach Tov Omer, the good Malach says, oh, Yiratzon Shetei L'Shabbos Acheres Kach. It should be this way next week. Mitzvah Hashem, this should be your lot in life, that everything should be beautiful when you come home from Shabbos, from Shul to your Shabbos home Friday night. And Malach Ra, the bad Malach, Ona Amin Bal Karcho, has to answer Amin. In other words, he has to second that bracha. It's the opposite of Lab. It's the other way around. And the house is a mess, and nothing is really prepared for Shabbos. So then the Malach Ra, gets to say, it should be this way next Shabbos as well. And Nebuch, the Malach Tov, he has to say, Malach Tov, Ona Amin Bal Karcho. The Malach Tov has to, unfortunately, hit his Amin. In other words, Ken Yiratzon, to that Nebuch bad situation. Amr Elazar says, "Lo olim yisadur adam shulchanu b'erev Shabbos. A person should always sit at the table on every Shabbos. Avu b'shenot tzorech elchazayis. Even though he's not going to have a big meal, that's a person who doesn't enjoy the eating. So you're not supposed to eat a huge amount on Shabbos. A person on a diet. So Nebuch, he feels he has to even on Shabbos have a diet. So he's going to eat very very little. He's only going to have a chazayis. He's only going to have the minimal amount of food. It really should be a kibbetza. You should try to have a kibbetza's worth of bread. But he's saying over here, he's just going to have the most minimal amount. So you could argue, oh, I don't really need to set the table. I'm just going to have a piece of challah. So, no, you should set the table. You should honor the Shabbos by having a table set. Amar Rabbi Chanina, says, by the way, when let's say Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so you're still supposed to set the table. You know, put out all the dishes and everything like that, but you should have the tablecloth on the table. You should have whatever normal accoutrements you put on the table, you should put them out there. You don't have to put out the cups and the food because you're not eating anything, but you should set the table even if nobody's going to be using it. And that's what Beloz is telling us, that honors the Shabbos. Rabbi Chanina said further, Loli Misad Rodu Shulchan B'Yotzi Shabbos. A person should set up the Malava Malka table after Shabbos. We Malava the Malka, we escort the queen out from Shabbos, so we make a suda when they leave as well. So you have the idea that you bring in the Shabbos with the Suda and you take the Shabbos out with the Suda. So he says you should also set up the Malava Malka table amongst the Shabbos, even though you're not very hungry. You just had Shalosh Shudas 2 hours ago. It says a person who wants to be smart, though, should always be aware. Don't eat too much in Shalosh Shudas. So you should save some room for Malava Malka and vice versa with all your meals. So a person should always be careful to try to perform the mitzvahs in the most proper way. So you should make sure you leave enough room to have an appetite for Shalosh Shudas, and make sure you leave a little bit for having an appetite for Malava Malka. It's a very important meal. We learned elsewhere, Gemara tells us that sustains the luz bone. The Malava Malka is how the luz bone is sustained, and the luz bone is going to be the bone we all have Tchias HaMesim from. So very on a metaphysical way, it's a very important meal, even Malava Malka. So he says you should set your table nicely, even though you're not going to eat a lot, so you should still have the table nicely set to escort the Shabbos out. Then it tells us, Chamim b'motzei Shabbos melugma. To have hot water in Motzei Shabbos is a good thing. Rashi explains melugma means a refuah, because a person doesn't have so much hot water. Today, with all of our modern technology, we can have all the hot water we want on Shabbos, with urns plugged in, Shabbos clocks, etc. So we don't have a problem. But those days, it wasn't so easy to have a fire lasting for 24 hours and have hot water. So they would need, so to say, hot water. That would be a good refuah for a person on Motzei Shabbos. Likewise, Paschama, they didn't have hot food so much like we do. Their fires would die down. They didn't have blechs and all sorts of things like we do. So they wouldn't have so much hot food. So Pas Chama B'Matzi Shabbos Melugma. That would also be refuah if a person would have a nice hot meal, a nice hot drink on Matzi Shabbos. Rabbi Avo Hava Abdin Le Bafuke Shabsa Igla Tilsa. Rabbi Avo, he would go prepare a real delicacy for his Lava Malka. He would go and have Igla Tilsa. We learn elsewhere that Igla Tilsa was a very special type of an animal. Either it meant the third born cow to a mother cow, or it meant the cow that was a third raised. In other words, it reached a third of its maturity. And anyway, this was the filet mignon of cow meat. This was the best type of cow to have. So, have a ochem in a kulyosa. So he didn't eat the whole cow on Matzi Shabbos. He would just have one of the kidneys, a delicacy. And that's what he shecht the whole cow, an expensive cow, this Igla Tilsa, and he would go and have this just one kidney of Matzi Shabbos. So his son, when he got older, kigod dalabim ibrei, when his son got old, he said to his father, Malay, why are you wasting all this money? You're shechting an entire cow. They didn't have refrigeration. And the stomach, a lot of it went to waste because they didn't eat that much meat during the weekdays. But he wouldn't shecht it on Erev Shabbos. He bedavka shecht, he wanted it fresh and especially tasty on Matzi Shabbos. So he says, why are you wasting so much of this food? What should you do, Daddy? Nishbo kuyosa mimali shabata. Go and take a kidney from the Erev Shabbos animal that you shechted and leave that for Matzi Shabbos. So he did this, shavkua. So his father said, okay, Taka, I'll do what you're saying. And what happened? Vasa ayyachle. And a lion came along and ate the animal, the Igla Tilsa, that they would have normally shechted. But now they didn't shecht, so it went to waste anyway. So you see that you're honoring the Shabbos over here, it didn't cost you anything. If you hadn't honored the Shabbos, as was this case, that he next week didn't shecht the Igla Tilsa, the Igla Tilsa was gone anyway. So he didn't lose anything by honoring the Shabbos. It's brought down la'alocha. A person should try to have something special for Lava Malka, not just have leftovers. Again, if you have the food from Shabbos, there's a special kedusha to the food from Shabbos, but you should try to make something special for the Lava Malka. I'm Rishu and Levi, kol ha'oneh, amen yesh mei rabba mevarach b'kol kocho. If somebody says, now when he says b'kol kocho, Tosus tells us that it means pirish b'kol kavanoso. And this is what Rashi says elsewhere as well. And that a person should not necessarily yell it at the top of his lung, but he should concentrate on what he's saying. This is the single most important part of the davening. This is more important than kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. The halach is, the person is by two minyanim, and one is saying kadosh, kadosh, one is saying amen yesh mei rabba, you answer amen yesh mei rabba. Assuming you haven't davened yet, you can answer either one. So, therefore, you should answer amen yesh mei rabba. That's a very, very high praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if somebody does this properly, korin lo gzardino, they rip up any Nebuch bad decree that they have against him in Shemayim, they rip it up, right? We say, so this is a great way to rip that up, to get that decree ripped up. The Pasuk says, when there are Nebuch, terrible things that were supposed to happen to Klal Yisrael, and they don't happen, the reason is, my time of before approach, why did these bad things that were supposed to happen to Klal Yisrael not happen? Because they praise that Kosh Baruch Hu saying, Amen Yishmi Rabba. Similarly, Ruchi Barabba Amar Rav Yochanan, Ruchi Barabba sitting Rav Yochanan, Apil Yesh Bo Shemet Shel Avodah Zarah Mochel Lo. Even Rachman Litzan, a person has some little bit of Avodah Zarah that he's done in some way, they'll still forgive him. And that's based upon Ksiv Hoch. It says over here, Bifroa Pros. It says over here that when you are going to have all of these things ripped up, why? Uksiv Hosam Kiparuahu. We have the same Losha before our pros that these things will be ripped up, that you get atonement for these bad things, which is your Avodah Zarah, because we have this Losha by the Cheta Ego, Kiparuahu. It was uncovered, and that meant that that was a reference over here to Avodah Zarah. So this, like Zerushav over here, of pro our pros, and Parua is telling us that if you answer Amen Yeshme Rabbah properly, this can even atone for Avodah Zarah. He says, whoever says Amen with all of his strength, again, meaning with Kavana, means very, very strong that you're agreeing with what was just said. Poslo Shari Gan Eden. They're opening up Gan Eden for you. Shenemar, Pishu Sharim, Vyavo Goy Tzadik, Shomer Amunim. Who gets to go into this place? The Shomer Amunim. What does that mean? Atikri Shomer Amunim, Elo Shomrim Amen. People that answer Amen. What does Amen mean? My Amen, Amen Bechanina. Kel Melech Nemon. You're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Nemon. And therefore, you're basically answering over here that this bracha that the person said is true and that you're acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why you get all these wonderful rewards. Mark continues says, Amar Yehuda Breder Rav Shmuel Mishmei Derav. He said the following, Ein Hadleika Mitzuya El B'Mokum Sheish Chilu Shabbos Rachmona Litzlan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes sends fires to places to burn down houses Rachmona Litzlan, and he only does this because it's Chilu Shabbos. How do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, if you don't listen to me, like Kaddish is Yom HaShabbos, and you don't honor the Shabbos, Vilti seis masa v'gomer, and you don't go and do what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. If you, in other words, ulavilti seis masa, and you don't not carry, in other words, you do carry, then vitzati eis, and I'll have to send the fire bishorel to your gates. V'ochla arminos Yerushalayim, and it will burn down the houses of Yerushalayim. V'lo sichbe, and they will not be able to be put out. My v'lo sichbe, why won't they be able to be put out? Amar Nachman Yitzchak, bishor shein b'nei adam mitzuyin lechabosa. People won't be able to put it out because it's Shabbos. And therefore, because you didn't observe the Shabbos, neither can I get neither, Hashem is going to send fires to you, Rechmona Litzlan, on Shabbos, to burn your houses down. Rechmona Litzlan. Amar Bai, Elochav Yerushalayim, El Bishul Shechilu Batsa Shabbos. He tells us that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Chilu Shabbos. Shinema, as the Pasuk says, Umi Shabbos Osai, Helim Weineim. You didn't keep my Shabbos. You lifted your eyes away from my Shabbos. For Echa Besocha. And as a result, I became Chil. I became Vo'echa Besocha. And therefore, I had to destroy your place. You didn't follow my Shabbos, so I have to destroy your place. And this leads to a whole series of statements that various Amorim made on how come Yerushalayim was destroyed. Amar Rabbi Avoh, Rabbi Avoh said, "Lo chav Yerushalayim ela bishvil shebitlu kriyas shema shachas v'yarvis." Says another reason Yerushalayim was destroyed was because they didn't say kriyas shema in the morning and the evening. So misu daraisa, according to almost all the poskim, to say shema in the morning and in the evening. Shenemar, it says, "Hoy mashkime baboker." Most of those people that get up early in the morning and instead of saying Shema, Shechar Yadov Vagomer, they go and drink wine. That's all they're interested in. And the end of the pasuk says, and they drink the wine late into the night. Uksiv, Vayachinor, Vanevel, Tov, Vacholil, Vayayim, Mishteim, Vespal, Hashem, Lo Yabitu. That they do all of these things. They have lots of gatherings here where they have all sorts of, music and wine, but the Poa Hashem, Lo Yabitu, they don't do what Hashem wants. And then it says, after Aksiv, Lochain Gola, Ami mi Blidas. Therefore, Akash Baruch Hu sent us into Golos because of Blidas, because we didn't do what he wanted. We didn't follow his Das.
And he says, because Nebuch, the children weren't learning in Yeshiva. Shenema, we're supposed to say, Shefoch al Olol Bachutz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, Nebuch pours out his anger on the Ololim, on the little children. Ma tam Shefoch, what does it mean over here that he pours out his anger on them? Mishum de Olol Bachutz, because the children are outside. They're not inside in the Beis Medrash. So therefore, they're unfortunately causing the destruction of the world by us now having the children in the shuls, in the Yeshiva. So then that causes terrible tragedies with Kaiso. Amar Ulula said, Lo chav Yerushalayim, el b'nei shelo hayolem boshes ponim zemizeh. The reason why there was destruction of Yerushalayim was because we had no shame. Shemar, hovishu kisoei v'asu, kambosh lo yivoshu. We should have been ashamed, but we weren't. And therefore, that caused the destruction. Amar Yitzhak, Lo chav Yerushalayim, el b'shelo shehushvu kotv gadol. The reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed because there was no difference between the gedolim and the ketanim. In other words, everybody thought that they were equal to each other. Shenemar, v'yochom kakohen. The people thought they were all kohanim. Usiv basvei chibok tibok aretz. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu will empty out the entire land. Amar Avraham, Brei the Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, Amar Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Lo chav Yerushalayim, el b'shelo shelo chichu zezeh. The reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed because nobody gave tochacha anymore. They all looked away. Nobody was willing to open their mouth and say, "Hey, what you're doing is wrong." Shenemar, Hayusareo kayolim. The leaders were like an aisle, a type of deer. Lo matzumira, and they had no place to go and pasture. More aisles there, rosho shel zeh bitzad zinovo shel zeh. So the deer were walking over here, the ayolim, the hearts were walking, one right behind the other. So the head of each one was in the tail of the other one, and they're walking, looking down, not looking around. In other words, that's like Klai Yisrael, Avi Yisrael, Shavos Ador. Even the leaders of Klai Yisrael, kovshu pneim bakarka, they hid their faces in the ground, lo chichu zeh zeh. They didn't tell people, hey, what you're doing is wrong. So it's, you have to give tochacha, there's a mitzvah to give tochacha. When people might listen to you, you have a mitzvah to give tochacha. And they didn't, and therefore that led to the destruction, because people kept and doing all the terrible things. Amar Yehuda, Lo chav Yerushalayim, ela bishvil shebizu bo tamidei chachamim. The reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed because the tamidei chachamim were not being honored properly. Bizu bo tamidei chachamim. The tamidei chachamim were not given honor. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Vayu malivim b'malachei halukim uvozim dvarav umitateim." What does that mean? That they made fun of the malachim, who were the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they didn't listen to them. Mita'atim b'nevi'ov. They didn't listen to Nevi'im. Right? Yirmiyah HaNavi was made fun of. They threw him into a pit. They didn't listen to him. At Olos Chamas Hashem be'amo Ad le'ein marpe. That's what the pasuk should be. Le'ein marpe. That's why the lamed's in brackets. It's put in there. And Kosh Baruch got very mad at his people. And there was no marpe. There was no refuah. My ad ein marpe. What does that mean? No refuah. Amar Yud Amar Rav. Call him a vaza. Tamid Yechom. Ein lo refuah l'makos. So if anybody goes and doesn't treat Tamid Yechom properly, he's mavaza to Tamid Yechom. He embarrasses the Tamid Yechom. He denigrates them. So he will not have any refuah for his wounds. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, another statement. What does that mean? That don't touch the one who is Moshiach, he's the anointed one, and by Nevi'im, don't do them any Ra. So what does that mean? That means Eil Tinokos Beis Rabban. This means the children in the schools. That means Eil Tamid Chum. In other words, don't do anything to disturb the children learning in school, and don't do anything to not give cover to the Tamid Chum, and not honor the Tamid Chum and treat them properly. Amr Yishlach Yishum Yehuda Nasiya. Yishlach said the name of Yehuda Nasiya. Yehuda Nasiya was the grandson of Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Ein Olam Eskayim El Bishvil Hevel Tinokos Beis Rabban. The world lives because of the little children learning in school. So Gemara says, Amr Le Rebbe Abaye. Rebbe says to Abaye, Nu, and us, Didi V'Didoch, Mai, Nu, we're chopped liver? We're not special? All learning doesn't count for anything? It's the little children learning the Aleph Beis, learning Bereishis, Bara, Elokim. They're supporting the world, and not us. So Abai says, yeah, taka, omale. Abai said to him, Eino dome, hevel sheesh bochet, hevel sheen bochet. Yeah, there's no difference over here. The little children, their words are pure. Any Torah that comes out of their mouth isn't contaminated in any way. Nebuch, we have sins, and therefore our learning can't be compared to their learning.
This is just a phenomenal statement to teach us the importance of little children learning and how much chashivas we have to have for that. And at the same time, our learning, which is on a much higher level, isn't seen somehow in our Kodesh Baruch Hu's eyes as being as good. Unbelievable. Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rish Lakish Mishum Yehuda Nasiya." Rish Lakish said, "In the name of Yehuda Nasiya, Eim Evatlan Tinokos Shabeis Rabban Afilu Lebinyan Beis Hamikdash." Even for the building of the Beis Hamikdash, you don't take the kids out of school. I remember when we were younger, and there was always the rallies and things like that. So there were always two different opinions. As important as the rallies were for Soviet Jewry, for Eretz Yisrael, there were those opinions that said, "No, you don't disrupt children from going to school, no matter what." Again, that's based upon this Gemara that says, "Eim Evatlan Tinokos Shabeis Rabban." You don't stop children, little children, from learning. They're holding up the whole world. They're supporting the world, even for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. That's how important this is. Then we have the Amar Reish Lakish Le Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya. Reish Lakish said to Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya, Kach Mekublan Miyavosai. I heard this from my Rebbeim, from my parents. V'ami Le Miyavosecha. I would say from your parents. In other words, from your Rebbeim. Kol Irsh Ein Bo Tinoko Shal Beis Rabban. If a city doesn't have little cheder for the little children to learn, Machrivin also, that city will be destroyed. Ravina Amar Machrim also. Ravina said even a stronger term. It said it's going to be a cherim. It's going to be totally destroyed. Rashi explains, Machrivin implies that there's something left over. Ikushia. Machrivin means lack of shear. There's nothing left over. It's going to be totally wiped out. Amar Rava, Lochar Yushalayim El Bishvil Shepasu Mimeno Anshi Amona. The reason why Yushalayim was destroyed was because there was nobody left that was an emistic person. Anshi Amona means people that would be telling the truth. Shenemar, Shotetu Mechutzos Yushalayim. You'll go and look in Yushalayim. Runa Udu Bakshu Mechavasel. You'll look all over the place. In Timsu Ish, Im Yesh. Ish osem mishpat mevakish emun of eslachlo. You'll see if there's a person that you can find that is a man, that he's a person who is a elich, a person. So if you're going to find such a person, fine, but you won't. And therefore, I will not be able to forgive you, Shalayim. I won't be able to be eslachlo. Where says, really? There's nobody there that was honest. Ini, Vamar of Katina. Katina said, Afilu Bishas Kishlonish of Yushalayim Lo Pasku Imena Anshemona. Even at the worst moments when Yushalayim was about to be destroyed, Bishas Kishlona, when it's falling down. So then, nevertheless, even then, there still were Anshemona. There were Erelicha people there. Shenemar, Kiyitbos Ish Biochiv Beis Ovid. The Pasuk says, your person will grab onto his brother. We have the gears of Lamar, but that's not really in the pasuk. Simlo l'chol katzin tia lanu, and they're gonna say to this person, "You be the leader for us. You be our katzin. You be our captain. You be the leader of us." So what it's saying, Dvarim should be nei adim is kasim ben kisimlo yeshlam yedecha. And as an aside, the Gemara says they're telling this person that you're gonna be like our leader. You're gonna cover yourself up with a garment and make believe that you don't hear us because you're busy, you're covered up with this garment. In other words, people aren't going to be able to answer the question. There's going to be nobody there capable of answering the question. And the pasuk continues, "V'machshela azos tachas yodecha," and this will be a machshela, this will be a pitfall, this will be a stumbling block under your hand. What does that mean? So we turn to the Obed Halak. Gemara says, "Varim she'ein bnei adam omdim aleihem elim kein nirshalim behen yesh lan tachas yudecha." Things that people don't know, that they make a mistake over, they fall under, you'll have them in your hand. And you're going to say, "Katzim tiyalonu, please be our captain, be our leader for us." Yisah bayom hu lemor lo yechovesh v'gomer. That person's going to say, "Listen, I can't, I just don't know. I can't do it." And Yisah elo lashon shvur. The person's going to say like a lashon of shvur. He's going to raise his hand in an oath. Lo sisa Hashem Hashem. Like it says, don't take a Kaddish Baruch's name in vain. Lo yechovesh. He says, "I can't be your leader. I can't be the one in charge. Lo eya mechovshe atzmon b'veis hamedrash. I'm not really never capable of being your leader because I just don't know. O b'veisi ein lechem ve'ein simla. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the bread. I don't have the garments. Shem yodi lo mikra lo mishta lo gemara." So people are going to be honest. At least they're going to say when they ask to become the leaders, they're going to say, "No, listen, I'm not really qualified to be the leader." So how can you say that there weren't honest people? They may have been boors. They may have been ignoramuses. That would have been fine to say because they didn't know any Torah. But at least they were honest to say that they didn't know any Torah. So isn't that a kasha on you to say that there won't be honest people around? Someone says, "No, maybe not." I mean, my Dilma Shiny Hossam. You know why he said in that situation that I don't know and they were being honest? Because they could be easily found out that they don't know. The Amalu Gemirna, because if the guy said, "Oh, sure, I'll be your leader, I'm a big Tamachacham," so Amalay Amalam. So you're going to ask him questions and he's not going to know the answer. So it's something that would obviously be found out. So it's not that they were honest, they just didn't want to embarrass themselves because they would obviously be found out a minute later. Someone says, "No, they still could have lied. If they wanted to lie, they could have said, 'Gomar, oh, I used to be a big Talmud Chacham, but Shachar, no, never, I forgot.'" So what does it mean, "My lo yechovesh"? So when they said, "I can't be the leader for you," klal, it meant that I never was able to be the leader for you. Not then and not now. It's not like I knew it and I forgot it. And therefore, they were honest. How could you say that there were no honest people? So Gemara says, lo kasha, that's not a problem. Kam b'divrei Torah, kam b'masu matan. In regards to divrei Torah, Rikatina said that you're going to find over here people that were honest. So there were people that were honest. They said, "I don't know any Torah." However, when Rava said that you're not going to find people that are honest, so that's in business. In business, that there were no people that were honest, Nebuchadnezzar, and that caused the destruction of Yerushalayim. With this, we conclude today's share.